Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and read and discuss the Word of Life for October. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
It's Family Fun Day, and that's a great day for a barbecue. The place, Our Lady of the Assumption in Ingleside, 2414 Main Street. Beginning at 11 a.m. Saturday, October 13th, not only will you enjoy a scrumptious barbecue dinner, but you can take your pick of the silent auction items. Participate in the cakewalk, enjoy live music, and visit the many vendor booths. To hear more, call the church office, 361-776-2446.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well. How are you, Barbara?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Greetings to all our listeners.
Yes, it's hard to believe it's October. We haven't quite gotten our cool front yet, but we're getting there, hopefully.
Right. Yeah, it'll come.
It will come.
It'll come.
Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel today is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Before I read the gospel, I just want to say to everyone and the gospel we're about to read is one of those that's very difficult to listen to, but at the same time, it's the Word of God. And we will say it at Mass as we read this, the word of the gospel of the Lord, and we respond, thanks be to God. And so we say we welcome this word. It affects some people's, many people's lives in a hurtful way, but I would hope from a pastoral point of view today as the pastor of the Catholic Church here that I don't want anyone to feel intimidated, angry, or, feeling on the outside with this gospel about divorce. It's a part of our society, and we'll speak more about this after I read it. But I just want everyone to open your hearts and to listen to the Word of God, which is the truth of God, and to let the Word speak to us today, okay?
All right.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this command. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, and he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as you were reading this gospel, Bishop, I saw several different parts that we can talk about. But in the very beginning, it was talking about the solidity of marriage, and then all of a sudden it starts talking about divorce.
Yes, right. Well, you know, there's many, like you said, there's many parts in here that can lead to a better and open discussion about this issue of divorce. And the one that strikes me is, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment to you. In other words, when they asked, but Moses permitted divorce with a bill of divorce. And Jesus' response was, because of your hardness of hearts, or their hardness of hearts. I think a lot of our issues today as people, and we can speak of divorce, but we also have priests that leave the priesthood. We have people that, you know, commit to something and then don't. There's this lack of commitment in the, I would say, the social psyche of our world today, that somehow the idea of a commitment, a long-term commitment, just doesn't fit into our categories anymore. We don't like to wait. We don't want to be put out. We want things to happen now. And the truth is, the real truth is, that a growth of life, a growth in Jesus Christ, a growth in the truth about ourselves takes time. It takes patience. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in some cases, I think with divorce, having dealt in a parish and dealing with people, is we're too hasty in making decisions. Another is the hardness of heart, that people somehow psychologically feel that they're right in a particular argument and it'll be no other way. That has nothing to do with the gospel. If we read the gospel of Jesus, we would find that there are things that Jesus has said to us that would help us to lighten up our hearts, to welcome the other person, to welcome their opinion, to work together. When a couple comes together, they have to give up part of themselves. No greater love has this than to give up your life for a friend. That's not just your physical life. That's your mental life, your spiritual life, your opinionated life, so that two can become one. We can't remain two. One and one equals two, but zero plus zero is, well, that's not the way to put it, but right. Zero plus one in this particular is one, but we're to become one. And so there's parts of us, if we're going to grow together, there has to be something that is given up. Me as a bishop coming from somewhere else, I married the Diocese of Corpus Christi. I married the priest of the Diocese of Corpus Christi in a spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard. When I came, I know the priest got put out with me and say, well, in Austin, it's like it's in my past life, this is the way I did it. But they would look at me and I realized they were right. If I had been, unwilling to see that, I would still be saying, well, in Austin. But that's not who God has called us to be. When you marry or you commit to something, you let go of that person in pride that we have and humble ourselves in front of the other. And that's how people can grow together. I want to say again, in some cases, that just doesn't work as hard as one would try. And I'm so sympathetic to that, because that's why it takes two. If one is willing to do that and the other one not, it's probably not going to work out.
Or if there's some abuse going
on. If there's abuse going on, and sometimes that's what can lead to abuse. So
right.
If there's abuse, verbal abuse, there's so many things in today's society that would, I don't want to say justify, but certainly could bring us either to justify or to understand that that a person just can't stay in a situation like that. So I think we as a church are certainly more understanding. We don't encourage divorce, of course, but I think we do understand that the phenomenon is there because you're dealing with two different people. And that is why we are working really hard with our marriage preparation program to really try to work with couples. And I would appeal to any young couple or any young people that are listening and are contemplating marriage, do yourself the huge, huge favor of doing premarital counseling. Let people reveal to you from their own experience. It's not the bishop or the priest preaching at you. It's couples saying, here's our experience, because they're human experiences. So please, young couples, give yourself that opportunity to do that. So, you know, the church opens itself to everyone. And we want to be there to heal the hurts that happen. When a couple enters into a sacramental marriage, because the church reveres marriage so much between a man and a woman that it becomes sacramental, as the Eucharist is a sacrament, as the priesthood is a sacrament, it's has that standing in the church. When a couple unfortunately divorces, we are willing to look at with the couple, with the one party or both, to see if the sacrament really took effect at the time of the wedding, which means there are certain conditions. If the couple has to say that they are freely present, they've come freely, we have to qualify what freely means. Someone may have been coerced into it. Somebody may, especially the younger they are, they can't wait to get away from mom and dad. So that's not, if you're going into a marriage because you want to get away from mom or dad or a situation, that's not freedom. So these are the things we can look at with you, a couple, and say, you know, there was not a sacramental bond there. Civilly, you were married, and if there's children, those children are totally legitimate. So those are the unfortunate things that people misunderstand. And then also the permanence. So those are basically the two things that are important, as well as having children. But the second one is that it is a lifelong commitment. Unfortunately, again, in our society, some people cannot make that because of a certain way of thinking, a certain philosophy or theory that they've bought into, or psychologically, they're not able to make a commitment. So there again is something else we can look at to help. And the third condition for a marriage to be sacramental is openness to life, to children. Again, some people, unfortunately, find that down the road, the partner was never open to children but never revealed that. If their trouble comes in life and any of these three conditions, we can help you with an annulment, which, again, does not nullify the fact that you began with love, that there's children, et cetera, that what was there is there. But as a sacrament, this is the key to that as a sacrament of the church, that it was never took place because of these conditions. It's the same thing with a priest who may leave the priesthood. If there are conditions that was, you know, I became a priest to please my grandmother. Well, that's
wrong reason.
So we can certainly look at that. I also would ask people that may be listening this morning, there are so many cases that people avoid coming to communion because they're divorced, because they're remarried, especially at an elderly age. Please go talk to your pastors and see. Perhaps we cannot help, but we want to be there with you and accompany you through life in the church. But I find that there's so much passed on from generation to generation to generation that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had a young girl giving a presentation in a religious education class, and it was a presentation on marriage, and she made the statement in her thesis that if you have divorced, you cannot receive communion. And of course, the other priest there looked at me, and I just said, just hold on, I'll take care of it. But afterwards, I said, I forgot her name, and if she's listening, I thank you for bringing that up, because you've given me the chance to talk about it today. But I said, where did you hear that? She said, from my grandmother. And I said, well, in 1977, soon to be Saint Paul VI, Pope Paul VI said, no, if you're divorced, you can still receive communion if you are in the state of grace. If you remarry, then we'll have to work with you and work with your situation. But just the fact that someone is divorced but living a life that is in the grace and trying to live their Christian life, that does not prevent you from going to communion in the Catholic Church. So I just want to clarify that and many other things. There's not enough time to talk about the whole situation, but I just want everyone to know that, that we want to be with you. We want you to be with us. We want to put our arms around you and help you and support you. So if you have a situation, please come see us based on the words of the Lord today.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
October means pumpkin patch time, and the faithful of St. Francis Xavier Mission in Thailand want you to visit their second annual pumpkin patch, the weekend of October 12th through 14th. They'll have small, medium, and large pumpkins for sale, plus face painting, games, photos, fajitas, hot dogs, nachos, and lots more goodies. The location, 323 Frio Street in nearby Thailand. For more information, including times of operation, which vary each day, call 361-207-1944.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, you had a wonderful explanation and clarification of people that are divorced and also about the annulment process. But we also, in this gospel, Jesus talked a little bit about the kingdom of God being like a child.
Yeah, it's quite interesting in this passage of the gospel when you find this rather firm teaching on relationship of marriage, divorce and adultery, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden it switches immediately to the children.
Right.
And the children, parents were bringing their children just to see Jesus and to talk to him, to touch him, to just spend time with him, and everybody's, oh, get away from the teacher. You know, he's the teacher, et cetera. And Jesus said, don't prevent them because the kingdom of God belongs to them. It's amazing how Jesus can turn a very tense situation into something very simple. And we have to be more, be more aware and sensitive to that ourselves, that what can seem to be very tense in our life and we get all worked up about it, it just takes a child to kind of calm us down and listen to him say something that's quite funny. I was, this past week, I was at St. Philip's participating in their Stations of the Cross for the healing of those who have been abused and praying for the church and a new beginning, et cetera. And a family was there with some children, and one of them said his aspiration, he was just probably six or seven, but he wanted to be a bishop.
Oh.
And so I took my zucchetto off and put it on his head, and he just kind of, and of course everybody's digging in their purses. I said, oh, here comes the cameras, and sure enough. But you know what, a child can take a situation,
yes,
and just gather people together. And I think it's a call to parents. It's a call to all of us that a child is so, so precious and important that we need to take care of them. And I say that with the embarrassment of all that we've been through and are going through as a church and as a society, Barbara, you know that. It's everywhere. But we need to appreciate our children, the joy that they can give us in just 5 minutes. I mean, it set my heart jumping and laughing all the way home. And, you know, and it just gives you a peace at night. And I think Jesus brings children into scenes like this to just calm us down.
Right.
The treasure that children are. And I say that also going out several times to the Ark where children have been abused in the most horrific, unthinkable ways by their parents. Abandoned by their parents, but they are so loving, and you almost, you know, if you could, you just want to take one home. Of course, they're there for, but I'm sure that many people do adopt those children. They're just so precious. But so I think, you know, we need to appreciate Jesus's methodology of bringing children into a tense situation, not to make them pawns between opposing forces, but as a model of simplicity, because Jesus says, if you don't accept the kingdom of God like a child, you will never enter it, or on earth you'll never experience it. We have to open our hearts like a child.
Great. Thank you, Bishop. Well, this is the first Sunday of October, so we have our Word of Life, which is, of course, always seems to relate to what the gospel is telling
us. Right. And I think, again, you know, Pope Francis is really calling us not to follow religion as a certain set of norms and in a rhythm and get stuck in kind of our normal ways of just doing things, in a rhythm. Religion and faith is not a rhythm of doing this, doing that. It's listening to the Spirit, opening our hearts to the Spirit. And I can give you some examples, but I think we're running out of time, so let's just read the Word of Life. And I would invite people again, please go to the website of the diocese or to Calux and pick up this Word of Life, print it out, and throughout the month just read it or just read the sentence that it's based on. So this month it is, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Paul was writing to the Christians of Galatia, a region now located in central Turkey. He himself had evangelized this area, and he cared about the people very much. Some people in that community thought Christians should follow all the precepts of the law of Moses in order to be accepted by God and be saved. And that goes back to our gospel for today. But, on the other hand, affirmed that we were no longer under the law because Jesus himself, who is the Son of God and Savior of humanity, became the way to the Father for all people through his death and resurrection. Faith in Jesus opens our hearts to the action of God's own Spirit, who guides and accompanies us along the pathways of life. Therefore, according to Paul, it is not a question of not observing the law, but of going to the deepest root of the law and becoming aware of all it demands, allowing oneself to be guided by the Spirit. In fact, a few lines earlier, Paul says, the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Christian love for God and neighbor, there is both the freedom and the responsibility of being God's children. Following Jesus' example, we are asked to love everyone, to take the initiative in loving others, and to love them as ourselves, even those we consider enemies. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. The love that comes from God urges us to always act responsibly with our family, at work, wherever we go. We are called to build relationships that are peaceful, just, and lawful. The law of love lays the most solid foundation for our life in society. As Maria from Paris explained, I teach in a school on the outskirts of Paris. It is a multicultural area, and many of the students come from disadvantaged families. I organize cross-curricular projects that enable teamwork and foster a sense of family among my colleagues. This strengthens our credibility in inviting the students to do the same. I have learned not to expect results right away, even when I see little change in the students. The important thing is to continue to believe in them, accompanying, appreciating, and rewarding them. Sometimes I feel I'm not making any impact, but there are other times when I see tangible proof that the relationships we have built are bearing fruit. This happened with a girl who was being disruptive in class. I explained to her calmly and firmly, to live in harmony, everyone must do their part. Later she wrote to me, sorry about my behavior, it will not happen again. I know you expect action from us and not just words, and I want to commit myself to this. You are someone who gives us students the right values and the desire to succeed. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Living life with a loving attitude is not simply the fruit of our own efforts. It is the Spirit who has been given to us and gives us the strength to grow in freedom from the slavery of selfishness and to live in love. And we can continually ask for the Holy Spirit. Kara Lubick wrote, "Love is what moves us. It suggests how to respond to situations and the choices we are called to make. Love teaches us how to discern. This is good, and I'll do it. This is bad, and I won't do it. Love is what urges us to act in a way that is best for others. We are not guided by an external force, but by the principle of the new life placed within us, by the Spirit. Our heart and mind and strength and all our abilities can walk according to the Spirit, because they are unified by love and completely open to God's plan for us and for society. We are free to love."
Once again, it just mirrors what our gospel was. You know, the very last part, at least in regards to childlike love,
right,
and innocence.
Right. You think, you know, that I guess with all the issues that the church is facing, I've done a lot of time just kind of quietly thinking and trying to open myself to the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit speak in us. And one of the things I think that I've come to more and more is that people who abuse others don't know themselves. And the only way to know yourself is to know God, because only God can know me. You know me and you search me, the psalm speaks of, and you know my heart. You know when I get up in the morning. You know when I go to bed at night. You know my thoughts from afar. Only God knows us. But if we are not in tune with God, if God is something, some being somewhere, but not in the depth of my being, then I don't have that ability to be childlike. I don't have that ability to listen to the Holy Spirit. It has been so, I would say, simple during this crisis time to be able to listen to the Spirit, because I know I can't control the situation. I want to make things better, but only the Spirit can do that, to inspire me, to inspire you, to inspire others to work for what is good, as the Word of Life said, that the Spirit can say, this is good, this is bad. But we have to know ourselves well enough to let go and live by the Spirit and let God be truly at the helm of our life and of our current crises. So God bless all of you. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday, and thank you for listening today.
Thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty, ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.